Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at the time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast.
The Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
We're talking about religious trauma today with Dr. Laura Anderson. And there's so much to cover. We're only getting to the first couple of layers here. We're going to have her on again. But this is our fourth segment on the topic. Laura, I want to ask you about this, and I do harp on this group probably more than others, and I don't have anything against their group per se, but I do notice a trend, and I've noticed it over the last year. It's very out of sync with other groups. If you were to say, of all these crime cases that we follow, you know, what, if any, religion are the perpetrators? And if you just look statistically at the amount of people who are members of the LDS Church versus the amount of major crimes and horrible things that we're hearing, it's very much out of whack proportionally as to how many seem to have roots somewhere within the LDS Church. I can name so many cases this year where it was an LDS-type family, and then mom poisons, dad poisons mom. Somebody takes out the whole family. Or it goes into, you know, some weird spin-off of it, you know, like Chad and Lori Daybell, for example. And I know they were not technically members of LDS at the time of their crimes, but it did start there. That's where that did they began. And I know actively there's LDS Church is not out there trying to necessarily kill people or create psychopaths, but does that environment, and in that one specifically, does it create an atmosphere where people are more likely to go off their own way and have some sort of justification for very bad behavior? Because, like I said, there just seems to be a lot of it that comes out of that group. I know many who are that are lovely human beings. It's a big part of their life. I have no problem with that. But it just numbers wise, there's a spike there. And why, I guess, would it be with a group like that?
Yeah. I mean, I do think that these are natural environments for sociopathic and psychopathic behaviors. Of course, I can't diagnose these people because they're not my clients. I don't know them. But just looking at the sheer behaviors of people, whether that's within the LDS Church or not, I do think that these are environments that are prime for crimes, for narcissism, or at least narcissistic behavior. You know, we hear about some of the extreme stuff. We hear about Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow, and we're like, oh my God. And yet, like, it is extreme. And I don't want to take away from that. And yet there's so many other churches that have just not quite as extreme practices that are every day, you know, whether that's LDS, whether that is Independent Fundamentalist Baptist, you know, like the Duggars. Oh gosh, what's the group up by Boise, Idaho, Doug Wilson's group? I can't remember what their name. Yeah. I mean, their practices are wild. Also, we hear stories of rampant sexual abuse coming out of there. We hear a lot of stories of people that treat their children and women like animals because they believe that's what the Bible says. Yeah. And so I think
horror stories coming out of Jehovah's Witness too. I mean, that, I mean, there's so much.
Yes. Absolutely. And so I think that, you know, again, we're creating this box that's smaller and smaller. And we have to remember that there's someone or some bodies that are defining what should be in that box, right? And depending on who they are and their own mental space or how, you know, egotistical or maniacal they are, we can create a lot of different kind of behaviors that the outside would go, wait, what? Mm-hmm. That's not ethical, that's not legal, that's not biblical. But I think the further that you get into some of these religions, it's easier to kind of, you know, disregard certain things, again, under the name of God.
Yeah.
And I do think that we see that a lot, even if it's not quite as extreme as Chad and Lori, we see it in a lot of different religions. But I do know that in the past 5 years or so, of course, we've seen many documentaries coming out, you know, on Netflix and other places where the LDS church really is being pretty exposed. And I have conspiracy theories around why that's happening, but that's maybe an offline conversation.
Yeah. I mean, it's stunning when you just look at the amount. I mean, every time some new case comes in, the first thing I'm like, how many kids do they have? And it's like, okay, there's a clue there. And then it's, it's LDS too. And does it create a ripe atmosphere for that to happen? The more shut off individuals are, the more closed off. Is that, I don't mean to interrupt, but is that something where, you know, it's an attitude of, well, I was brought up this way. I've seen leaders, male figures, whoever get away with bad behavior on the inside, and they're supposedly all righteous with God and such. And then when that behavior travels to the outside, are they sometimes just unaware how much society frowns upon things like that because they were able to get away with it within their religious bubble?
Yeah. So there's a couple different like underlying beliefs that I think are really important to point out. One of them is what we would call Christian domination or dominion, which also you could put religious LDS in there, where there is this belief that that religious group is supposed to, like their God ordained, you know, kind of purpose is to take over, to have dominion over a variety of different things. There's groups that practice what's called like Seven Mountains theology, where they're whole goal is to have dominion over the political realm, the entertainment realm, the educational realm. So we have that where they believe that. In a lot of these religions, we have this belief that like we are these special chosen people and we're chosen by God. And we have a couple things. We are supposed to get other people to join us. And because God created the world and we serve that God, then we answer again to him instead of these earthly authorities, which then can lead towards all sorts of cognitive distortions as well as behavioral distortions of what is allowable, who can we discriminate against. And there is also usually a belief of what we would call in a lot of cases Christian persecution, or this belief that I will be persecuted for my faith. And that actually is a marker of my faithfulness. And so, yeah, when the world looks and goes, what is that? Why are you doing that? They say, okay, this is just evidence that I'm being persecuted for my faith and that I am doing something right. Mm-hmm. So I need to keep doing it because that is what God is calling me to do. And I'm not here to say that makes sense. I'm only here to say that I know that's how a lot of people operate. I mean, those are teachings that are very core to a lot of high control religions. I have many friends who are former LDS, and we compare notes because I didn't grow up in the LDS church, but I grew up in a fundamentalist church, and we compare notes and there's not much difference. And so I know that a lot of these core teachings then set the foundation to say, here's what is okay. This is what is okay for us to do, because there's this saying of we are in the world, but not of the world. And so therefore it allows us to do all of these things and commit really atrocious acts against people, all in the name of God, because this is our purpose here on earth, is to, you know, get people on our side. And we can do that by any means necessary.
Are we at a point where we really need to re-examine our laws and the protections that religious organizations have? Obviously, I would think that's a resounding yes for most, but you know, with some groups, that's going to be, oh, hell no, we have that separation. But in terms of, and I certainly agree with that for governmental policy and such, although that's questionable half the time. But when we're talking about just accountability and being able to get away with so many things, we've seen so many bad acts that get away with horrible things, but nothing is done till far after the fact, or nothing is done at all because it is a religious organization. It feels like we need to be able to get into these things from the outside and not say, no, you can't have your religion or anything like that. But what the hell's going on here with these kids? What's going on with these finances? What's going on with these sort of things? And if the answers outside of that church would equate to, you know, like felony type behavior or something far worse, which a lot of it can be, then something needs to stop. And that's no longer a religion at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, I have thoughts around this that might span outside the scope of this conversation, but we do in the United States, we live in a country that is really dominated by a certain brand of Christianity. And so with that, there's a lot of policy and legislation that's passed and that supports those structures. So I do believe that they're wise enough to know that if they go after a group, whether it is the Mormon Church or whether it is Jehovah's Witnesses, they know that at some point that's going to be turned on them because the same standard is going to be applied to them. So if we're going to go after, you know, the LDS Church for sexual abuse, there's a likelihood that we're going to have to go over to the SBC, the Southern Baptist Convention Church.
Everything right? should be looked
Everything.
At. Yeah, it's not like, oh, I'm going to target you. Yes. It's like, hey, everybody should be looked at. There should be some sort of oversight. Right. If you're going to run an organization like this, there needs to be some sort of oversight to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I think that people are wise enough to know that they can't target just certain religions and leave Christian religions, whatever that means.
Everything. Yeah.
Alone. Right. It would be all essentially all or nothing. And so they choose nothing, which means that there are continued abuses and atrocities and even things like death. Like we talk about, you know, Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow. It's like, yeah, I know they weren't technically a part of the LDS Church, but that's where their roots are. And though we can say what they did is absolutely unequivocally not okay, we have to also look at how they got there. They didn't just wake up one morning and say, oh, I think that this is what we need to do. There was a whole thought pattern and belief system behind that. And I think that there's politicians and legislators in our country that understand if we really go in on some of these groups, it'll turn the mirror and they're going to have to look at us as well. And that's not something they're ready to do. Yeah. And there's a lot of dollars to be made from religious people in terms of like how that interacts with politics. So it's not in their best financial interest to go down that road either.
Yeah. It's not necessarily, they're not operating in the interest of their parishioners. It's seeming so much. It has to do with the finances and what they're going to get at the end of the day and ultimately how they can control the people that follow them.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Dr. Laura Anderson, thank you so much for coming on today and giving us this insight. It's been a very fascinating conversation. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been so wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.